We'll be reading a scripture lesson from Psalm 119, verses 89 through 105. 89 through 105. We bring you greetings from the Upper Conewaga congregation. Would invite you to our revival meeting. We invite you there to visit with us at the conclusion of your revival meeting. But we will begin next Sunday morning and go through the next Sunday evening. Brother Melvin Haid plans to be with us. So you feel free to come and worship with us throughout that time. Psalm 119, we'll begin reading at verse 89, and we'll read through verse 105. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless the law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. For I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Those who are able, we would ask that you kneel as we pray together.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Pleasant Hill is that you might be saved. Might as well get used to that verse. I think I'm going to try and repeat that every evening. Is that okay, Fred? It's Romans 10:1, according to my biophrase. Now, paraphrase. My Bible is closed. I want you to close your Bible, okay? Preachers don't often tell you to do that, do they? This morning's message was finding our yes in Jesus. And I said this morning that finding our yes in Jesus is very important and the positive message that he has for us. But there'll probably be some questions after we find our yes in Jesus. And so we have to find answers for those questions. And tonight's message is entitled Finding Your Answers in the Bible. So I want to see how many Bibles are here. Would you please hold them up and keep holding them up? Wonderful. Now we're going to say together, keep holding them up. Come on, Steve, you're not that tired, are you? Keep your Bibles up. You learned to sing probably in Sunday school or Bible school a little. You know, the B-I-B-L-E. Well, we're not going to sing it. We're going to say it. Okay, let's say it together. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Thank you. It's a good testimony. In some respects, I'm apologizing to repeat myself. I found a little record. I'm not a great record keeper, but I did find a record that I was here in 1963 in June, and I preached a sermon honoring the Word of God entitled God's Plumb Line from Amos 7. I want to honor the Word of God again tonight. I hope that's enough time in between, that you're not going to accuse me of too much repetition. I even found, this is for the treasurer here, whoever that is, I found you paid me $10 to preach that sermon. So just want you, in case you're wondering how much to pay for tonight. The message tonight is based on the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. You didn't come for a short sermon tonight, did you? 176, and the reason I picked this chapter, well, I'm not going to preach on the whole chapter because I want to give an assignment, but almost every verse in this 176th psalm, 119th psalm, of the 176 verses, all but a few of those verses, I'm not going to tell you how many tonight because I have some homework, okay? This is the only homework I think I'm going to give this week. Most teachers are a lot harder on you than that. Just one assignment. The assignment is to read sometime throughout this week Psalm 119 and find all the verses. This means you're going to have to concentrate. All the verses that don't specifically reference the Word of God. Because in almost all the verses, there is a reference to the Word of God, like there'll be the use of the words like law, commandments, statutes, precepts, testimonies, ordinances, or judgments, or even the way. In all but a few of the verses. So throughout the week, please write down all the verses you find. You don't have to put your name on the piece of paper. I'm not going to be a test. I'm not going to grade you. But as you go out this week, when you've finished reading Psalm 119 and you've found all the verses that don't make a specific reference to God's Word, just write them on a little piece of paper and give them to me. And sometime near the end of the week, I'm going to report on how many verses there are. I think I know the answer down to a couple of the verses, but in fact, I may even give you one verse tonight, but the rest you have to find for yourself. And you'll find as you read this, Psalm 119, and you go over this, how many different ways the psalmist used to express his appreciation for the Word of God. I mean, he just doesn't get done. It just seems like he has so much appreciation for this Word of God that he keeps going and keeps going and one more verse and one more verse, and he didn't close it out until he gets to the end of 176 verses. So why do we go to the Bible for answers? You know, sometimes we are guilty of sort of imposing our outline on a text, or maybe we start off by saying, I want to give a message on a certain subject and I want to get certain things said. But I hope tonight's message will help us to see that just let this word itself speak to us. These verses that have been read in the opening by Brother Paul, beginning with verse 89 and going through the end of 105. Why do we go to the Bible for our answers? Well, the first reason I want to share is this, because this word is dependable. You can trust the answers you get in the Bible. There are a lot of other books you can read. You can read the newspaper. You can listen to newscasts. You can even hire experts on all kinds of subjects and get all kinds of advice. But when it comes to really trusting the reformation or information that is being given to be able to fully trust the answers, we have to go to the Bible, and there's where we really get the trust to know that the answers we find in the Bible will be dependable. And I mean, this book has weathered the test of time. It has battle-scarred from all kinds of angles of how people have tried to destroy it. Even in the Old Testament, you'll find there was an Old Testament king, sort of had the last copy, and he sat before the fireplace and got out his penknife and piece by piece, and it wasn't complete like we have it. But there was some written by that time, and he just, piece by piece, he was tired of this word of God. Page by page, get the old knife out and cut it out. And he thought he had gotten rid of God's word. The problem is, God wrote this word. God said it's not going to be destroyed. It's going to stand the test of time. In fact, it's going to be the basis of our judgment someday. This psalm is big enough to wrap itself around us many times and give us all kinds of protection. So beginning with verse 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The fact that it is settled in heaven means it's not settled just for a weekend or until somebody smarter comes along with more arguments against it. It is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us a new edition every couple of years and say, "Well, now take the old book away and here's a new edition"? The way some people take the word of God, of course, it seems like they have that attitude that the old book is no longer dependable. We have to get it up to speed. Now, this has nothing to do with the use of later translations. I'm not opposed to using later translations. God's word was written. You know, we have the King James. That's a version, too. So we shouldn't really get hung up on making too big a deal out of versions. Now, some versions are like what I say when I quote Romans 10:9, you know, I say that's my paraphrase. Well, you know, the Living Bible, for example, is a paraphrase. It should be understood as primarily a commentary on the Bible. Kenneth Naylor was a person who wrote the Living Bible, first of all, but you know, that doesn't last. Now it's the New Living Bible, and you keep on having them. Some people have to keep selling books to make a living, I guess. So we keep making newer versions, and I use other versions in study. I prefer to preach from the King James because that's, well, my name is Jim. Why shouldn't I? But that doesn't make it most important. What makes it important is that God's word will be preserved and it's dependable. And really, the translations don't generally take away the basic truths. There are maybe some little bits and pieces. And actually, some of the later translations are based on even older manuscripts than the King James Version. So that's why I'm saying I don't think we should get hung up on that. Neither should I think we should try to go buying up all the different translations of the Bible if we can find one wording that fits our own preconceived ideas a little better than maybe another version, that we go by that one then. The purpose of these translations really is to try to make God's word understandable in the age in which we live. So sometimes I go to the Living Bible, just, you know, the King James maybe seems obscure and I'm not sure quite what is being said, and so I will refer to other translations. So much I could give you the story of Kenneth Naylor. Actually, I got that from David Lehi. Do you know David Lehi? He gave us the story of the Living Bible one time, how Kenneth Naylor tried, well, I told you I'm not going to give you that, so, or do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll cut it short anyhow. Kenneth Naylor had a fairly large family, I think, and he worked at a publishing house, and he had to travel by train back and forth to get to his place of work. And David Lehi said that he realized that as he read the Bible to his children, sometimes they had a difficult time understanding some of the words. So He took the portion that he was going to read to his children the next day, and on his trip back and forth on the train, he would rewrite that portion of scripture in his own language. And then when he was reading that to his children, they could understand it. And somebody got a hold of this and saw that Kenneth Naylor had a wonderful gift of taking difficult portions of scripture and God's word and make it down into the language that children could understand. So it wasn't really an evil purpose behind it. But sometimes, you know, he uses some freedoms with some of the words that we as adults, we don't need to think we're children. We can handle some of the more difficult phrases, but that's how it came into being. Okay, so much for that. The reason we can trust God's word is because it, like no other book, has stood the test of time with God's approval on it. Just think for a moment how long a textbook survives in the school systems. Like a scientific textbook, or a textbook on medicine, or name almost any other subject, those textbooks soon become outdated. I remember when I graduated from high school, my literature teacher gave me a textbook. She said, "Jim, if you want to," I don't know why she thought I was so much interested in her textbook. She said, "If you want to take one of these along home, you can, because next year we get a new textbook." Because the old, even literature, mind you, was considered outdated. So just imagine science or medicine or a lot of other subjects, those textbooks soon become outdated. We've been using the textbooks, brothers and sisters, for 2,000 years, and it's still not outdated. It's still very much, you can depend on it. Why do we go to the Bible for answers? Because you can depend on the answers. Because God is the author. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much?
All
of it. Every word. Every jot, every tittle. Don't try and get around it. God has settled his word. I heard over the radio one time, a radio preacher said, "We must believe every part of the Bible to be true." But then he added these words, "especially the words of Jesus." I was troubled by that statement. Do you see anything wrong with it? There's something wrong with that statement. Because it's putting the words of Jesus on a higher level than other scripture. And my, how people like to do that. Say, "Well, Jesus never said anything about this. Jesus never said anything about that. And this is just the Apostle Paul, or this is just Peter, or this is one of the other writers. It's not Jesus." So I'll tell you what I've experienced. The people who use that approach don't stay there very long. The ones who start saying this that isn't by Jesus is on a lower level than Jesus, they only stay there so long, and soon they'll start saying, "We don't know whether we can trust Jesus anymore either on things." All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. God used a lot of different writers, but God really is the author. 1 Peter 1:21 says, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." These were not freelance writers. Chuck Swindoll, another radio preacher, I'll give him credit for this, says they were moved aside of themselves in order to be under God's control. Now, I can agree with that statement. I don't think they all realized that they were writing scripture when they wrote it. But the full inspiration of the Bible suggests to us that it is settled in heaven because God is the ultimate author and God backs it up. God signs the bottom line. God is saying, "This is my word to you." And God doesn't play games with us by saying something to us in his word that he'll say something else through his Holy Spirit. You can count on it that the Holy Spirit and the word of God will agree. Why wouldn't they? The Holy Spirit inspired the writers to say it a certain way. Now, the Holy Spirit may have allowed the writers to reflect some of their own personal interests and their own personal pursuits in life. And, you know, you can find that with some of the writings that they have interest in some things that maybe some of the other writers didn't have much interest in. And even if you read the four Gospels, they read differently. You know, Dr. Luke, he spends a lot of time talking about the birth of Jesus. The virgin birth of Jesus was something that must have been very fascinating to Dr. Luke. If you were a medical doctor, wouldn't that be fascinating? That Jesus was born of a virgin without a human father. You never read the Christmas story out of the Gospel of Mark. He wasn't interested in those kind of things, I guess, or under the Holy Spirit's inspiration. He was more, that Gospel of Mark is known as the Gospel of Action. Lots of, the key word in the Gospel of Mark is immediately. You read the Gospel of Mark, you almost get out of breath, rushing from one scene to another. Mark didn't seem to have interest standing outside the birthing room and talking about a birth. That was not what he was called to do, but it's all God's word. It all fits together perfectly. God's saying, this is my word to you, and you can depend on it because this is God's word. A man by the name of Henry Rolls was walking through his factory in the early days. And he overheard a lathe operator say, "Oh, that'll do," as he tossed the part into a basket. The part looked all right to the casual observer, but Henry Rolls expected his workmen to use a micrometer and be satisfied with nothing less than precision accuracy. So when Mr. Rolls heard that comment, he reprimanded the man, "This may do for everyone else, but it will not do for Rolls-Royce." How many of you came in a Rolls-Royce tonight? What do you have against Rolls-Royce? Probably the cost. And that's the reason Mr. Rolls was not satisfied with anything less than precision accuracy. That's the book to which we go for our answers. So when you're looking for answers to life's problems, go to the Bible, because you can depend on it. God used quite a number of different writers if you go back through the Old Testament. But I'll tell you one thing about all of them, none of them were freelance writers. They were not writing on just their own interests. God may have allowed them to reflect some of their personal interests, but God so carefully watched over and guided those pens and those words down to the very word that you can count on it, that it's accurate and it's dependable. Well, God the Holy Spirit was the editor-in-chief. And God's attitude toward the Word of God determines what brand of Christianity we will live out. If we have full respect for God's word, it'll be reflected in our life. You know, we too will not be just freelance livers to live out however we choose. We are under some control also. Just as the writers of Scripture were under God's control through the Holy Spirit to give us an accurate rendering of God's word, just so the same way when we come as students to study, to read and meditate on God's word, we're not completely free either. We're not freelance readers to just read it the way we like and to live the way we like. I picked this illustration out of our daily bread. It says a minister flying to the West Coast struck up a conversation with a passenger next to him. "What's your occupation?" he asked. His seatmate replied, I'm a professor of astronomy." "And what about you?" "I'm a pastor," the minister answered. The astronomer shifted a bit in his seat and then confessed, "I used to attend church when I was young, but my wife and I don't go very often now. But the way I look at it, the Bible is pretty simple. It all boils down to this. Get along with your neighbor and stay out of trouble." That's interesting, the pastor noted. I feel the same way about what you do. For me, astronomy all boils down to this. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. I thought that was a pretty good answer. Yes, God's word is dependable because you can count on it. Go to the book for answers because you can count on the answers to be what God wants us to hear. And then I notice when you read verse 90, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Now, it just seems to me, by the way, that's one of those verses. That's one of those verses. Psalm 119, verse 90, that's one of the verses that does not have a reference specifically to God's word in it. Most of the other ones, you know, the word or the law or the commandments or the precepts or the testimonies or the judgments. But verse 90, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth." You know, he says this right after verse 89, where he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And you can almost imagine that the psalmist is thinking, well, if anybody's having a problem understanding that this word is settled in heaven, we're going to step outside and we're going to look up into the heavens. And God, we're going to say, you know, really, God, are you dependable with your word? And God is sort of answering, well, take a look at the universe. Take a look at the heavens. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Generation after generation, as long as that is. Thou hast established the earth, and it abides. All these generations, the earth keeps going around on its axis. It moves around in the universe. Everything else is very accurate out there. That's why the people who study the heavens, they can predict, they can tell you days and weeks and months on ahead when there's going to be an eclipse and when something else is going to happen in the heavens. That's what he's saying in verse 90. If you have a problem understanding that God can write a book that's dependable from which you can get all the answers of life, take a break, step outside, look up into the starry heavens. And God is keeping all this precision movement of the universe in exactly the same place. No collisions. Somebody explained to me one time, if I like to make things with my hands, I said, I'm sort of clumsy. With my hands, I'm not really mechanically inclined. That's one of the gifts God has given me. And he said, you know, I like to study the heavens. I like to figure things out. And he said, you know, when you make a measurement here on earth, you know, somebody that measured this pulpit, they got some kind of tape measure out, and they measured. And he said, you know, that's fairly easy. You know, you want a pulpit that's, I don't know what this is, maybe 3 feet close to it. But he said, when you're measuring things out in the heavens, you know, if you make a mistake here by a quarter of an inch, who's going to see it? But you make a mistake in projecting out into space, way out into space. If you made a mistake down here, where the measurement is very small, until you get out there into outer space, you're going to have a big mistake. Well, when God established the heavens and the flow of the planets and everything, that's all figured out. And the psalmist is saying, if you have a problem, If you have a problem believing that this word is dependable and you got questions and go to this word, trust it, because the God who established the universe, there it is, verse 90. Thy faithfulness unto all generations, thou hast established the earth. You know, Job said in Job chapter 12 and verse 8, speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. There is a space station, I think they say, a space station is floating around way out there. I think it's going at about 17,000 miles. Is that an hour? Is it an hour? It's pretty fast. You know, it was in our newspaper some time ago that the International Space Station is going to... Well, do you believe there is a National Space Station out there? You're just not wanting to ride it, are you? 17,000 miles an hour. They said, you know, it's coming up. It's going to be going around. And they said, you know, if it's a clear night, you'll be able to see it going. And I said to Faye, you know, this isn't going to cost us anything. Let's get out and let's watch it. They said at a certain time, around 10 o'clock at night, it'll be coming out over Chicago, and then it'll be Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then, I think it was Chicago, and then Columbus, Ohio. I got my geography straight, and then Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then I think it was Spring Grove. No, it was Lancaster. They said, you know, about 10 o'clock, it'll be coming over Chicago, and then Columbus, Ohio, about 10:04, and then Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, about 10:06, and then you'll be able to see it a minute or two after that. It was a nice, clear night. Faye got just outside the house. I went out to the end of the lane. We looked up, and I was watching the time, and I said, okay, it's over Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Sure enough, there it comes, and there it goes, a little streak in the sky. How can they figure that out? I'll tell you, the same one who wrote the book established the heavens with such accuracy that after thousands of years since the day of creation, it still works. It still holds together. And speak to the earth, Job says, it shall teach thee. Now, another reason why we ought to find our answers, why we can go to God's word to find the answers, because God's word is how God refreshes us. He gave us a written message in order to be refreshed when we need answers, which usually because we have a burden, we have a question, we have an uncertainty, we need an answer for our questions. So finding your answers in the Bible is the way to go, because it's God's way of refreshing us. You know, the Word of God feeds the inner spirit of the child of God. Verse 92 says, unless thy law had been my delight. That's a word that suggests being refreshed, being encouraged. I should then have perished in mine affliction. The psalmist says, here's where I go for help, for encouragement, to have my spirit refreshed. Sort of like the taste of honey. In fact, 103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You remember David was weary one time in his travel, and he stopped and he scooped a little honey out of, what was it, a lion's carcass, I believe, and ate a little honey, and his face lighted up. He was refreshed. Well, in a sense, this is God's word. The new birth is accomplished by the sprouting of the seed of the Word of God in our hearts, according to 1 Peter 1:23. And we experience the operation of faith, which cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. in Romans 10:17. Just as our body needs health and strength that is dependent upon regular nourishment that comes from taking a regular, balanced diet from all the food groups, so it's important for us to study God's Word and thereby be delighted. I wasn't sure if I was going to mention this tonight, but one of the persons is here that involves that. What I want to say, I'm going to say it. I hope she's not embarrassed. The first revival meeting I had away from home was out at the Upton Church in the spring of 1966. My first revival was at White Oak. I lived with Brother and Sister Roy Hawbaker. Most of you older ones would remember Roy Hawbaker. I lived with them for 2 weeks. Diane, you remember that? Well, this is about you. Sorry about that, but it's a good example. One of the things that impressed me when I lived there, I would get up at 7:30. That's the time that Roy Hawbaker's had breakfast. And I thought, well, that's time I ought to be down too. And I sat around the table with her family every morning for breakfast. And then I would go in the living room and study for a couple hours. And one of the things that impressed me when I was in that home is that Diane, or are you Donna? You're Donna. Well, Diane is a twin, right? The Hawbaker twins would come in and sit in the living room and read their Bibles. They didn't say anything about it. They didn't say, Jim, I'm coming in to read my Bible. I just noticed they had the habit. They had developed a habit of reading their Bible. What an important habit to form. Because this is God's way of refreshing us. The love of the Word and the love of food have some simpler purposes. There is the milk and the meat of the Word that we need to give into our spiritual digestion. So just as it's important to eat a balanced diet of physical food, so it's important to, well, 92 says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. That's sort of a term that suggests a resurrection. The Word of God can do it when we read God's Word and meditate upon it. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Verse 94, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. This is how you face your enemies. Verse 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. You know how Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness. It is written, one time after another. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Verse 96 says, I have seen an end of all perfection. I have a feeling he wrote that early in the morning when he first got out of bed. First look in the mirror. I have seen the end of all perfection. Right there he is. But the end of all perfection, thy commandment is exceeding broad with all my mistakes. With all my imperfections, thy commandment is exceeding broad. How the Word of God can catch us in our imperfections. Give us some encouragement. Turn us around. Get us going in the right direction. Yes, we go to God's Word for the answer because it's dependable and also because it's God's way of encouraging or refreshing us. Now, I need to ask tonight, are we diligent in our daily devotions? Because that is absolutely essential. And it brings us to the third point. Why do we go to the Bible for answers? Because it brings godly understanding. Here is really how we learn about God. Verse 97 says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's an encouragement to start meditating on God's word early in the morning, to develop personal devotional habits that get us started in God's word early in the morning so that we can reflect on that even throughout the day. And sometimes the portion of scripture we read in the morning will be an amazing way of helping us to answer some questions throughout the day that might pop up. I notice in this 97th verse, he uses the word meditation. I remember when Bill Gothard was having his seminar, his teaching, almost like seminary classes. Sometimes he would explain that some of the root meaning of this word meditation is somewhat similar to a cow chewing its cud. You know, the Bible doesn't encourage us to do a lot of speed reading. Even to say we read through the Bible once every year, it's okay. I've done that some years, but I'm not sure that's the most profitable way of speed reading. Maybe you can do that and then also do some meditating in other ways, but the meditating suggests, you know, like we chew on the word, we think about it, we let it somehow be absorbed into our thought processes. And, you know, just like a cow is out there in the pasture and eating grass for a while, and then after a while you see that animal lie down, maybe under a shade tree, and bring that food up because a cow has more than one stomach. A cow has how many stomachs, do you know? You're outvoted, Fred. Well, maybe they had three when you were a butcher. I really think it has four, and it goes from one to the other. And you know, most of the things about God's creation, I think we're all agreed that the human creation is higher than the animal creation. But I will confess to you, there have been times when I've thought being able to chew our cud would be kind of nice. You know, we were at Larry Miller's for lunch and supper, and it was good. But you know what? We spend time eating lunch, and then we went and sat in the living room. And you know, it would have been kind of nice to bring it up again. But then it was time to eat supper. Well, in a similar way, I think meditating on God's word, when we want answers, we don't want quick answers, do we? We might be able to get quick answers by reading the right verse at the right time, but meditating suggests a thought process that goes in to allow God's word to be absorbed into our thought process. Well, the word of God is primary source of godly understanding. Why do we go to the Bible for our answers? I'm here tonight to say you can find the answer in the Bible. We keep searching. It might take a little time, but, well, oh, how love I thy law, 97, it is my meditation all the day. Even thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You'll just never get completely away from the enemies of God. They're all around us. I tried to impress you this morning with the fact that the world around us, all the negative stuff that's piled up. I just read in the newspaper that Congress just a day or two ago approved that the victims of 9/11/01, that's 15 years ago, that now they are going to, if our president signs the legislation, they will be allowed to sue Saudi Arabia for the fact that the pilots that hijacked the planes that went into the Twin Towers came from Saudi Arabia. To just think about it, that all that ill will that's been piling up for 15 years, now it's going to open up another, we might say, bag of worms of lawsuits against the nation. It's just an indication of the fact that There's so much going on that tends to bury us with all the negative stuff going on. But we can come to the Bible and we can get answers. I have more understanding. This is verse 99. And I wouldn't suggest that if you're a student here, that you're going to get into class tomorrow morning, that you walk into your class and quote Psalm 119:99 right off the bat tomorrow morning. I have more understanding than all my teachers. That's probably not the way you want to start Monday morning. But the fact of the matter is that somebody who is going to the Bible for their answers has such a wonderful source of information that it really eclipses what a lot of teachers have to offer. And it's been proven that a young person that gives himself regularly to the reading and meditation of God's Word will invariably do better on their secular studies than somebody who just focuses on secular studies alone. That's why we go to the Bible for our answers. He even goes farther. Verse 100 says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Just because somebody is an old person and can say they've had so many birthdays or they've had so much experience, that in itself is not where you may get your best answers. There are a lot of older people who, if they've not given themselves to study and meditation of God's Word, are not going to have the best answers for you. I want to say a few things about point number 4, why we go to the Bible for our answers, finding our answers in the Bible. It is because obedience to the Word of God is the primary test of our love to God. Obedience to the answers you get from the Bible, following that instruction, is the primary way of proving our love for God. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a delight, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It's important that we get it in our hand so that our hands will find good things to do, that we get it into our heads so we have good understanding, that we get it into our hearts so that our affections are in tune, and so we get it into our heels so we walk in the right direction. Where should we put God's Word? In our hands. In our head, in our hearts, in our heels. From the diary of a Bible. This Bible speaks for its owner, how it's being used. This little tract is entitled From the Diary of a Bible. January 15. This reads like a diary. The Bible speaking. January 15. I've been resting quietly for a week. The first few nights after New Year's Day, my owner read me regularly, but now I guess I've been forgotten. February 2, cleanup day. I was dusted along with some other things, but was put back on the shelf. February 24, owner used me for a short time after dinner. Looked up a few verses. Went to Sunday school. April 10, I was dusted today and put on the center table in the sitting room. Special company was here, but now I'm back on the shelf again. May 12, busy day. My owner had to lead a devotional lesson and had to look up some references. Had quite a time finding me and then hunted and hunted to find those references. June 5, I'm here in Grandma's lap. She's here on a visit. June 6, in Grandma's lap again. She has spent most of her time reading 1 Corinthians 13. June 7, 8, and 9, I've been in Grandma's lap each afternoon. It's such a comfort to be appreciated and loved. She reads me part of the time and then just sits and talks to me. June 10, Grandma's gone and I'm back in the same old place. She kissed me before she left. July 4, Had a couple of four-leaf clovers stuck in me today. August 1, packed in a suitcase with clothes, off on a vacation, I guess. August 7, still in a suitcase. August 12, still in the suitcase, although everything else has been in and out many times. Other things first, I guess. August 15, home again and on the shelf. Quite a journey. Can't see why I went. September 3, rather stuffy and hot. Two magazines, a novel, and an old hat are on top of me. October 18, used by Mary a few minutes today. November 10, was carried to church today and held up to be counted. December 16, dusted again. I'm lonesome. Wish Grandma would come and visit again. December 31, last day of the year. Tomorrow, I expect to have a knife run into me by each member of the family blindfolded in turn, and then a finger placed on a good luck verse. What would your Bible say if it could speak, or mine? If we say we're a Bible-believing church and a Bible-believing Christian, the least we can do is read our Bibles. And then the most we can do is live by their precepts. Finding your answers in the Bible, the book that's dependable, the book by which we are delighted, the book by which we gain godly understanding, the book by which we prove by obedience to it our love to God. The Word of God tells us all about the plan of salvation. It tells us about God's love, about Christ's sacrifice. It tells us about his birth, his life, his miracles, his coming again, his plans for the church. It's all in the book. Tonight, if you're here and you've never answered God's call for your life to find the answers in the book, we invite you to think about this. We're going to sing an invitation, two verses of an invitation hymn. What will it be? Number 284 in the Brethren Hymnal, first two verses. If you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ, stand in need of rededication, we offer that as well. Stand where you are, come forward as we sing the first two verses of this hymn. Mm-hmm.